I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. You could be forgiven for thinking Europe is coming unstuck these days. First, there was the Brexit, when British voters chose to leave the European Union. Then there's been the rise of parties opposed to European integration in several countries, including France, the Netherlands, and Germany. And now this weekend, voters in Italy turned against their Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi. So Renzi, a pro-EU leader, submitted his resignation. But the EU still has a lot of life in it, according to Richard Parker. He's a lecturer in public policy at Harvard's Shorenstein Center. Parker says the vote in Italy was not a full-out rejection of the European Union.
It wasn't quite as simple as a populist vote, although there's a lot of pointing to the relative success of the Five Star Movement and the Northern League, both of which have said that they would hold referenda on Italian participation in the EU. We need to locate it as a sign that this crisis of legitimacy that is haunting not just European but Western governments is ongoing, but that this is not a final blow in the end of Western civilization as we know it, or even the EU as we've known it.
So let's look at Austria, where over the weekend, a very different signal. Voters rejected the candidacy of right-wing nationalist Norbert Hofer. Mm-hmm. Is this a contradiction of the trend of nationalists holding sway over globalists, or just a fluke in the trend?
You have to remember that Hofer is the representative of a party that was founded by a former SS officer, so it carries with it a specific taint. I think that if you want to understand what's going on in Europe, you need to understand several things, one of which is that the older center-left parties that had been based on unions and labor and a substantial part of the white-collar professional classes have suffered severely over time. They've been hit both from the left, where green parties have emerged, and also further left parties like Der Linke in Germany. And at the same time, they have lost narrative coherence for their voters. That is, there was a story to tell in the post-war period of economic recovery and deepening of political democratization. That political democratization process has been completed on the national level, but has been replaced by all these questions of a continental governance process, that is the EU, that is less than fully democratic in a number of ways. The second is that the long economic recovery that went on from the 40s to the 70s that increased prosperity for all has, just as in the United States, reversed itself. And that goes to the heart of what is both the European problem and also the American problem.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, as you describe Austria's vote, it sounds like it's very specific with this right-winger being defeated. It also seems to tip to this whole idea that Austrians may be standing up for the idea of Europe. Do they care about Europe?
Everyone in Europe cares about Europe. I think we in America actually have to care about Europe even more. And I'd pull the lens back and say, look, the West is in a fundamental period of shifting global economic power to the East, to China, but not China alone. That means that the next 50 to 100 years are going to see fundamental shifts in global power as global economic power leaves the North Atlantic. We want a unified and strong Europe on our side negotiating those changes rather than a fragmented Europe in which no one country is larger than the California economy and therefore can be easily picked off or separated out like sheep from a flock as these negotiations occur.
Yeah, you say we should want the European Union, but do you think the incoming administration of Donald Trump wants it?
Well, you know, I mean, Donald Trump bills himself as a populist, but his new Secretary of the Treasury is a former Goldman Sachs executive. And the head of the European Central Bank is a former Goldman Sachs executive. The about-to-be retired head of the European Governing Board is about to join Goldman Sachs. Whether Trump wants to toy with Europe, as he did a week or so ago when he suggested that Nigel Farage, who led UKIP, become the British ambassador to the horror of almost the entire British nation, I suspect that he will toss off lots of ideas that on the face of them look like he's opposed to a unified Europe. But I think Mnuchin and others around the Secretary of the Treasury, and certainly Janet Yellen and the Fed, will be quite vigorous and noisy about warning President Trump that to push Europe toward further dissolution is to risk the deepest of American political and geoeconomic interests.
Richard, 10-second answer. In a decade, the EU, still a thing?
Absolutely. It's still going to be a thing. I think it's going to actually have deepened in terms of fiscal policy. I think the question is how now center-left parties and the intelligent parts of the center-right can come together to create a real democratic responsiveness to voters. I think this is a period of danger, but I think it's a period of enormous opportunity.
Richard Parker, a lecturer in public policy at Harvard's Shorenstein Center. Thank you very much.
Good to talk with you, Marco.